Hello and welcome into Camel Call Live as we are brought to you by our friends at the Fighting Camel Club, and we are coming to you live from Napper Tandy's Public House and Restaurant in downtown Anger. I'm Chris Amyer. This is our final Camel Call of the fall, if you can believe it, but we got a great show for you tonight. Head football coach Braxton Harris is here as we are getting set for our final two home games of the year, and our men's basketball coach Kevin McGeehan will be here in the second part of our show. He is coming off a very close game at Virginia out of the ACC last night, so we'll talk to him about the start of his season, believe it or not, already a week into it. The team, the basketball team, after our game on Saturday, they'll be home on Sunday and Wednesday before hitting the road for six of their next seven. As I said, it's a big weekend in Buies Creek. In addition to our Sunday afternoon basketball game, our women's swim team, they host Liberty at noon on Saturday, and then our football team on Saturday at 3:30 takes on 13th ranked Richmond. Head football coach Braxton Harris is alongside, and coach, this is a Richmond team that is one of only two undefeated teams left in CAA play. The other is Rhode Island, which was your first conference opponent of the year. So this is a Richmond team ranked in the top 10 in one national poll. What has been the secret to their success this season when you look at them on tape?
Yeah, I mean, it's just another week in the CAA, right? I mean, that's just the next week, the next opportunity, and that's what makes it so great. You look at them, they've won seven ball games in a row, and what they do a really good job of is they don't make mistakes. They're waiting for you to make the mistake. I mean, you watch them on offense, and you look at the numbers, and they're an explosive offense, and then you watch them on film, and they're running outside zone, and they're running inside zone. You're like, well, where are the explosions? And then a guy doesn't do his job, and they hit the bootleg, and he goes for 40 yards. You know, that you don't fit it right, and he goes for 40, you know, in that spot. And so they do a really good job of being patient and being disciplined and doing what they do. And they're waiting for us to make a mistake. And that's what we've really challenged our kids all week this week is, you know, think about what we're able to do. If we can match that, what they do in that third game, but be able to do it with our athletes in space, what can that look like on Saturday? And so we've had a really good week of work. I'm excited about the challenge, excited about our opportunity. As you guys have seen, all that have watched us play over the season, man, if you give us a number beside somebody, all of a sudden you get a Camel team come out that's a pretty good one. If you don't give a number beside them, I mean, it's kind of all over the place right now.
Look, you're so good. I don't give you any questions before but before we meet. You just come in here and you start talking. So here's my next question. How about this? You beat a top 20 ranked Western Carolina team this year. It was a one score game. Right. You have squared off against top 15 ranked William and Mary on the road, one score game. Stony Brook and Rhode Island, one score games. And now ranked in the top 25, all of those teams, close games, your team is not intimidated by the right number and the name, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's Campbell, right? That's Campbell in a nutshell. I mean, we're a blue-collar working-class university in a place in Harnett County that we're not afraid of anything. And we feel like that we've got a great product here at Campbell, and we feel like because you're from small town in Harnett County, that doesn't mean you can't go compete on the big stage in that spot. You know, I think you saw that from our basketball team last night. You know, they go up to play Virginia in the ACC, and they got a packed house, and they got a great student section, and our kids played their tail off in that spot. And so, you know, to me, that's kind of the Campbell way, right? Like, we're going to go play with those people. We're not afraid to go toe-to-toe with those people, and those are the people we want to be associated with. And they're fun. That's what makes this thing fun. Winning is fun, yes, but the competition is fun, too, to play against the best. When we get this thing right here with Campbell football, you're not just going to have a successful 7-8-win football team. You're going to have a playoff team that's got a chance to be able to make runs in the playoffs and be able to win championships. And that's the exciting piece right there of what we got a chance to be able to go do.
You know, we've been talking about it all year. We've been talking about it for 2 years now. But it's not just, well, it's a conference game. It's tough. You know, in the CAA, you're talking about right now five ranked teams,
right?
Other teams receiving votes. We have seemed to have all of them on our schedule.
That's
you
right.
Don't play everybody, obviously, with as many teams in there. You're playing a Richmond team. You know, bottom line is they're ranked in the top 15. But this is a team with national championships. And then
right.
you look down the standings, and there's another team with national championships,
right.
And another team with national championships. Not only do you have very good teams year in and year out, you have teams with traditions that go back decades.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that as we grow into the CAA and as Campbell football grows as a whole, like, look who we're associating ourselves with, right? And there's, we're fortunate enough that you go look at, watch the film of Richmond, and on the home sideline says 2008 National Championship game. And it talks about all the playoff games. You go play Rhode Island, that's a playoff team. You see all these things that guys are in the playoffs. Look at where football started. You know, some of these people here, they saw football when Coach Steele was coaching, and they talk about those. Look who that competition was, and look who we're competing against now.
Yep.
And you got to be excited about where the future of Campbell football can continue to grow. And I think that's exciting to where we've been, but also where we're going to go in this league.
You know, nothing against the Big South, because it was a great place where Campbell really rose right to the top of the Big South, and that allowed us to get in the CAA. But one of the things I tell people is, look, you could have an awesome house, you could have some great cars in your driveway, but if your neighbors on both sides of you don't have such a great house, don't have such a great yard, and have a lot of cars in the yard, you know, you're thrown into them because they're in your neighborhood. And the CAA, it's not just this coach, it's every single sport. There are teams that have won national championships,
right,
and national powers in each and every sport.
And that's going to help push. I mean, college football and college athletics as a whole is changing daily, right? I mean, you see the changes that go. And here's how it's going to work in college athletics. You're either the haves or you're the have-nots. And if you don't continue to push to be the haves and continue to associate yourself with the haves, you associate yourself with the have-nots, and you start saying as a whole, it's okay. It's okay we don't have this. It's okay we don't have that. It's okay to have that because nobody else does. And then you look up, and you're a 500 team, and that's the best you're ever going to be. Man, we're around the people that are the haves, and so we get to associate ourselves with the haves, and it gives us a challenge. Hey, how do we make this better? Hey, this is really good. How do we make this a little bit better? How do we grow our program? How do we give more resources to our student-athletes so that they have a chance to be better? But it also – it ups the ante of the type of player that we're bringing in. Those kids want to come in and compete, and they want to come compete at Campbell where they can get a great education in both those things. And so it's all about who you associate yourself. You hang around five bums, you're going to be the sixth. You hang around five highly accessible people, you're going to be the sixth. And we are doing a great job in this league as a department, but then also as football, I'm very encouraged. We're hanging around five really good football teams on our schedule.
Yep.
I know it hasn't turned out the way anybody wants it to. Trust me, it's not how I want it to turn out right now. But I promise you this, if we keep hanging in there with those people and associating ourselves with those people, we're going to be the sixth in that spot.
We'll get back to the football now, and you won't make this excuse because that's not what you do, but I will. The injury bug has really, really hit your team this year, Coach. You have been without your two leading tacklers, your linebacker C.J. Tillman, all CAA player, Jonathan Melvin. He was a transfer that came in. He was going to be an all-CAA player. He's out to the season, and wouldn't you know it, your starting quarterback, Chad Masco, he just had season-ending surgery earlier this week. First of all, how is Chad doing?
He did good. He was in the office today, and you know, he's got his little shoulder thing, and so we're giving him a hard time. How are you going to shave without your right hand? And he said he's definitely getting a haircut. He wanted to get that done quickly. but he's in good spirits, and you know, we're hopefully to continue to rehab him, and now he starts that process. You know, we've had five surgeries that have been season-ending thus far on our football team. And out of those five, all of them have been guys that have been starters in that spot. That's how you get hurt. You get season-ending surgery by playing. And so we've been unfortunate in that spot. But, man, look, you can look at those things and you can look at 3-6 and say we're disappointed. Or you can look at those things and, man, look at the opportunities that Cornelius Davis has been able to come in and do. A Logan Livermont, Antoine Sampa. You look at we learned about J.J. Cowan, Harnett County's finest right there. If Mark Biggins doesn't go down, then J.J. doesn't get those reps that he's able to go do.
Absolutely.
And be able to continue to grow. And so you can look at 3-6 and you can see the engine go, oh, poor us or poor us. Or you can say, man, look what we've gotten to grow and how we've gotten to build and we've gotten to see those guys and they're getting live action. What are those guys going to be able to do in the future? And that's exactly how we're looking at it.
Well, Coach, I really, really agree with you because when we were looking at this team on paper, I didn't tell you this, but I said, I did tell you this, you know, your ones, your twos, I knew that they were going to compete and be in some games. I thought if you get past that on paper, it didn't look like it looked like guys with
right.
not a lot of experience, redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores that had never played in that. If you told me you would have had these kinds of injuries to these kind of people, I would have said you wouldn't be in very many games at all,
right.
yet you're in every single game, whether it's a top 15 team or another team in the conference. And I think that says something, like you said, to what is this depth that's developing and guys in your program stepping up and not making excuses.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we look at it. We've had 20 guys that have started a football game for the first time in their career this fall. 20 guys on our whole team in that spot. And so you can look at that and go, man, you're inexperienced. I was talking back there a minute ago, and, you know, why do we make this mistake? Why do we make this mistake? It's because that kid's never been in that spot, and he's never learned in that piece. Anybody that's ever played sports, you understand that you grow and you learn by experiencing those opportunities. And so they're getting that experience. And so we can look at those things and say, oh, well, this kid did this or this kid did this, but he's going to do that now. But that kid won't make that mistake again. And that kid's working his tail off to continue to be able to do that.
You have these players that step up, somebody that has been so much more than a backup. Like you said, when he was going to make his first start, that's Mike Chandler the second, your backup quarterback. You said, look, he's taken more snaps, number one, than 99.9. And by the way, 2 years ago, he started the whole season for Lamar, a good FCS program out in the Midwest. He came in, and boy, he certainly looked the part this past week. He took every snap this past week. He threw for 355 yards, 4 touchdowns. He ran the ball 10 times for 51 yards, no turnovers. I know he was inconsistent at times, but my goodness, those numbers tell you that he's in there. He gives you a chance to win, and he was composed.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Mike, what he was able to do. Mike's always going to give you a chance. If you want to watch an offense that's explosive and can score at any point in time, come watch us on Saturday, because the pieces with Mike pulling the trigger, he's always going to give you an opportunity to be able to go make a play. You know, Mike was our most efficient runner as well. When you do that, what you do create to football teams is they got to play 11 on 11, right? Let's say they want to stop the run. The best way to stop the run is you're going to play cover one. Well, if they want to play cover one, that guy that's the deep guy, he's got the quarterback man-to-man. If you got Mike one-on-one in space, I like my chances in that. That's the thing. And so Mike really evens up the game. What it allows us to do is be more efficient on our true run plays. That's why you're seeing Mark and JJ have so much success on the run game, is because Mike's able to pull the ball. And anytime you have a threat, anytime you do those, he also, the thing you'll watch is he will limit people's ability to blitz you. Because when you blitz, you better make sure you're accountable for all those guys. And so when you got a group of offensive linemen that hadn't played together very much, and you slow it down for them and the looks that they're going to get, that helps them be more efficient in what they're doing.
You talk about explosive. Look, Sincer Brown had another epic game. We do not take it for granted, but another 100-yard game. 7 grabs for 135 and 2 TDs. But so did your true freshman, Randall King. His second 100-yard game in 3 tries. And, again, he had a career-high 7 catches, another 145 yards, and 2 TDs. So this was the most combined receiving yards in a game by a Campbell receiver duo in the history of the program. Just sensational from a guy that you knew and has been doing it, and from a true freshman that was playing high school ball last year.
Yeah, and I mean, Randall's exactly what we're looking for. I mean, for those that are following Campbell football, like, Randall's what we need to be able to recruit. He's from Northern Nash. He's right up the road. He's a local kid that I remember when I got here in January, I went and watched him play basketball, and he was the absolute best athlete on the basketball court. He's dunking a basketball. He wants the ball in his hand. He actually snuck out during fall camp and played in an all-star basketball tournament, which we're not real fired up about him doing. But he did score 37, so he told us he had a good day. That's the kind of kids you want. That's what FCS college football is, right? You got a kid that's just a competitor and is able to make plays, and he's local. His mom and dad come to his game. Really cool to see that experience, right? To see his dad sent me a video of how excited he was when his son scored his first college touchdown at the game in that spot. And so, you know, that's what Campbell is, and that's what we're able to do. And I think people miss so many times on North Carolina as far as recruiting. And people are going to go to Virginia. Yep. And people are going to go to Georgia, and they're going to go other places. But, man, I think if the guys like Randall King, the guys like J.J. Cowan, like, I mean, look at those two guys, and they're from an hour and a half down the road radius of us that they're right here. If we can win on the Randall Kings and the J.J. Cowans and get them to come to Campbell, we'll be all right.
Yeah, they play some really good football out west and in the eastern part of the state, and you know here.
Yep.
It's a good spot.
We got kids coming in that are from the Charlotte area that are coming in for official visits this weekend in different places.
Yep.
And so, you know, the excitement is what can we build with local kids? Because if you're playing local and your high school coaches are coming to watch you play, your English teacher's coming to watch you play, it just means a little bit more different. And that's how you get that home field advantage. You know, good football teams, they play different when they're at home. right? Yep. And the reason that you play different is because you're playing in front of people that you love and that you have relationships with, and you want to be able to do something for them. But it comes back to that relationship piece, and having kids from Northern Nash, from Triton High School, right down the road, man, that's the relationship pieces that we're looking for.
Absolutely. Sincere Brown, by the way, it's becoming a great season to an epic season, as we said. Sincere Brown, Campbell's wide receiver, he is now third in the entire nation in receiving TDs with 10, third in receiving yards with 889, sixth in receiving yards per game. He has had 100-plus receiving games, so difficult to do, five times. And of those five games, four times he's been over 125 yards. That's hard to do if you're playing a video game.
Yeah, and you look at the different catches that he makes. You know, early in the year, he was catching a lot of fade routes and go balls in that spot. Well, now he scored on tongue screen. He scored on slants. He scored on dig routes, just different ways. And I think that's one of the ways that Matt Kubik, our offensive coordinator, is doing a great job of putting him in different positions. Because if you got a guy like Sincere Brown and you leave him off to the side by himself, what are you going to do? You're about to get double coverage right there. This sucker ain't making a play. Them other 10 going to have to make the play, and that's why Matt's done a great job of moving him around. You'll see him in some different spots this week with some motion, some different things, and some different catches that he's making out of the backfield. And I really just think it shows the depth of his game that continues to be able to grow.
We have so many guys that have done so many good stats, you know, some of them injured right now. But as you look at this team, Coach, are there any guys that are maybe a little under the radar or don't get the stats or don't show up on the highlights that have you been super impressed by with their improvement, their play this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, your offensive line is always undervalued, right? Freddie Pelling has started. He'll start his 10th game on Saturday for us. He's done an incredible job. Transfer from Hawaii. He's from England.
Yep.
Went to the NFL Academy. This guy loved football so much. He goes from England to a Kansas JUCO. And if you go to Kansas to play football, you love playing football
there.
And then goes to Hawaii and then transfers in. He's done an incredible job. Mason Merriweather, our sophomore center right there from California. We recruited Mason when I first got here. And then now he's starting at our center right there. He's done an incredible job being able to continue to lead that group. On the outside, Aiden Valdez has continued to grow. All these kids are so young because they just don't have the experience in that spot to continue to get better. But they've done a really good job of that. And on the defensive side of the ball, those guys have done a really good job of just continuing to get better. I think our coaches have done a good job rolling guys in, getting guys reps. You look on the defense side of the ball, there's 35, 40 kids that have had meaningful snaps already that we can continue to develop.
Man, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're going to have Braxton back for one more segment. We've got a lot to get to tonight, but if you're listening to us live on the Varsity Sports app or GoCamels.com, get down here. We're going to give away some tickets. We will be here until 7:30, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Camel Call Live, presented by the Fighting Camel Club from Napper Tandy's in downtown Anger. Hey, welcome back to Napper Tandy's. This has been a wonderful home for Camel Call Live. This is a great place with great food, fantastic, authentic Irish dishes that are amazing. The drinks here are fantastic. We are just 8 miles from Buies Creek and Barker Lane Stadium, Gore Arena, and the Campbell Campus. We're at 27 South Broad Street in Anger, and we are so happy this fall. We're going to try and put together some shows after the new year, so stay tuned. We should have an announcement coming up in the next couple weeks. Hey, speaking of coming up back home, Campbell football back home for two of the next three Saturdays. On Saturday, Campbell takes on 13th ranked and in one poll, 9th ranked in the other, Richmond. They're in first place. It's going to be a fun day, and beautiful weather is on tap in Buies Creek. Pepsi Tailgate Town opens at 12:30, kickoff at 3:30. And then next week, a trip to Delaware. Campbell ends the season at home again, so home two of the next three Saturdays at 2 o'clock start on Senior Day, November 23rd versus Towson. Every time we have a show, we give away tickets. This is a certificate good for either of the last two football games or basketball games. It's a four-pack of tickets, so get your raffle tickets out. And the winner is 626-537-6265-3. 7. And if we have that, we have a heckler in the front row. I think you I think you know this crew that's sitting really, really close. I feel like I'm in your dining room table right now.
You don't want that in your life. You don't want that in your life, Chris.
Oh, my gosh. Your wonderful family, twins. Girl, you have three of the four here tonight.
Three of the
tonight.
Four.
Three
Brooks
of the four here tonight.
Brooks, okay, is Brooks at baseball. Here.
Yeah, okay. We've had some great crowds, too, so thank everyone that has come out and seen us tonight and all season. All right, Coach, but believe it or not, this is the final fourth of this season. It's upon us, and as you continue to build this program, what do these final 3 weeks and then the next couple of months have in store for you in your first year of this program?
Yeah, we want to finish strong, right? Like, we got three opportunities here at the end to be able to grow and develop. And, you know, football is unique to other things. You know, Coach, they play – I mean, how many games do you play a year? He plays 31 games yeah. a year, right? And he's on the short end. If you ask baseball, I mean, they play 60 games a year. Yeah. And so it goes 60, 30, and 12, right? And so you get 12 opportunities to go play. And so we want our guys to – they work their tails off all year. We've trained for this opportunity all year. We want to go shoot our shot, swing hard, whatever analogy, sports reference you want to do. We worked our tail off to play 12 games. Let's go play 12 games. And let's make sure we remember that it's a game, right? It's still a game. You got to be able to go compete. The reason you do all those things in the weight room when nobody's watching is to play. The only person that just loves the weight room, that's Trevor Conyer, our strength coach back there. He loves the weight room all the time, right? Nobody else loves the weight room all the time, right? And, you know, for him, we want to make sure that our guys take their opportunities and fall back to their training, and then we get to learn and grow in those opportunities, right? But like you said, we get to develop guys, and they get real-life experience in a CAA football game, and they get to grow, and they get to watch it, and they get to get better, and they get to measure themselves. The problem, I think, with a lot of sports that people give in is that they don't want to measure themselves. They just want to be the best. And you can't be the best if you don't measure yourself. And if you don't measure yourself against the best and you just measure yourself against people that are just okay, you're never going to know about yourself. And we get an opportunity to go measure ourselves against the best. If we're not good enough, we tip our hat, we go on, and we continue to build this program to go forward. But we're going to know what it looks like. And so we can take that mindset and go into the weight room, go into the winter conditioning, and we can understand that we got to get better. And here's the areas we got to get better in. And then let's go fix it and get better at those spots.
And you get a full off season, Coach. But by the time you got here and got into your office, it was already the middle of January. And then there was spring ball and then summer and the season. So to have a full off season
right.
after you've had a full season under your belt back here, of course, former assistant coach and now back here, that has to make you feel good and like you actually can have a plan for a full year now.
That's right. You know, we got 26 guys that have been in Buies Creek for 3 months. 26 guys on this roster.
That's incredible.
Right. And so here's the thing we built. Everybody talks about the transfer portal and say we should get better now because of the transfer portal. How we went about the transfer portal with this class is we wanted to go get kids that we could develop and that wanted to be at Campbell. Out of those 26, 24 of them have multi-years that they can play left in that piece. So we can take those guys, we can send them in the weight room with Trevor for 3 months, and they can go get bigger, faster, and stronger, and more athletic at what they do. And so the thing that we built this thing is we did a ton with the transfer portal, but we looked at it differently. It wasn't a quick fix. It was getting the right kids that want to come here for the right opportunities.
Amen to that. And finally, Coach, you know the support here has been great. The support back 100%. At home, the biggest crowd we have had at Barker Lane Stadium in the last 3 years. It happened during homecoming. It was a sellout and a win against NCANT.
Yeah, I mean, the fans, the community has been phenomenal, so supportive. They see our young men. They see our young men every single day. They see them grow. They see them get better. That's the great thing about being at Campbell is that you got people that come, and they're going to be at every game. Last week I was here, and Mr. Webb stopped me, and he said, man, you got to be the best 3-5 football team in college football right now. I've seen you get better every single week in those things. And so that's exciting to be able to see, and we're very fortunate. We have a fan base that is consistent. They care, and they show up in that spot. And so I'm excited to be able to get to Saturday. We got, again, three recruits that are going to be on campus that we get to accent and be able to show them what being a Camel is all about, and that's the community of people that are going to care about them. Because the greatest thing about Campbell, I've said it from day one, is not the buildings, not all those other things. It's the people, and it's the people that are going to care and make a difference. We had two kids that committed our last home game. each one of them sat down in my office. They said, Coach, the number one thing that made a difference from here, it feels like a family. It feels like people care about you. And that's what makes a difference. So thank you as far as fans. Thank you as far as community, because you're making a difference in our program each and every day. Even if you don't see it, we need you to continue to be able to do that, because when those kids come to campus and they feel that thing and their mom and dad feel that way, man, that their kids, their most prized possession, and they want them to go to someplace that people are going to care about them. And so we're so thankful to be here, and we're so excited to continue to build this thing here in Harnett County.
Two more chances to see Coach Braxton Harris and his team, and it starts this Saturday, 3:30 against 13th-ranked Richmond. Thank you so much for your time, Coach. Thank you for coming out to these things. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Heck, yeah, and I'm excited to be able to get Coach up and Coach McGinn up here, and he does a great job. We got to continue to be able to push those things over. What the momentum we've had in football, to continue to push that over into Gore Arena as we move forward in this.
We've got a lot of great things to talk about, including the Campbell men's basketball team going toe-to-toe with Virginia last night. Head coach Kevin McGeehan will talk men's basketball when we come back after the break. This is Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in Anger. And welcome back to the second half hour of Camel Call Live. We are presented by the Fighting Camel Club. And joining me now in his 12th season as men's basketball head coach at Campbell University is head coach Kevin McGeehan. Over the last eight seasons, Campbell has won more games in that span than in any other time in the program's Division I history, going all the way back to the mid-70s. During that span, the Camels have claimed four conference trophies. Campbell won the 2019 Big South regular season title and finishes Big South tournament runner-up in 2017, 2021, and 2023. Now, folks, we talked about, Braxton Harris was talking about his 12 games, and that season seems so long. It is a season on steroids for men's basketball. Literally 24 hours ago today in Charlottesville, Virginia, I was sitting at the scorer's table with these on. Coach McGeehan was right here in the bench, and they were getting ready to play Virginia. Boy, it turned out, Coach, to be a heck of a game. This is a Virginia team picked to finish in the top five in the ACC versus your Camels. The first half saw six lead changes and two ties, and in the second half, your guys kept fighting. It was a two-possession game with a minute and a half left to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great atmosphere. I thought our guys really competed. I don't think there was any, like, shell shock or you know, feeling like they didn't belong. I felt like they walked into the building thinking they were going to win the basketball game, and they played like they could. And, you know, there's a few things you obviously want to take back in any kind of a game, because you know if one thing went your way or something else, it may have turned the tide the other way for you. But as far as the effort and the energy and the connectedness, I couldn't have asked for more out of these guys.
I mean, and absolutely, and I think that was the biggest thing, Coach. You know, every year you play one, two, three power fives, and we have seen a lot of your teams go up in it. Sometimes you're shell-shocked early. You always compete. But it was from the minute they got off the bus from shoot-around, this wasn't, okay, everything has to go right, let's just be happy to be here. To a man, they came in to win this game, and that's an attitude that you can coach a little bit, but I think it's an atmosphere, and it kind of shows the culture of this team early.
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes a little bit from the mix of the players. I think it's the messaging that we're sending. I think it's, you know, a lot of guys that are hungry, you know, hungry for an opportunity. Maybe it's the level, like Caleb, that, you know, was somehow playing Division II basketball
yep.
for 4 years, or, you know, an Eric who was at, you know, an Ole Miss or a Wilmington where it didn't work out as well. You know, I just think that there's guys with different kinds of motivation that we're all channeling together to try to make something special happen.
We talked early about the depth of these players, and, you know, on paper, at practice, you knew you had something, but now we've been able to see it over this last week. Last night, against one of the best teams in the ACC. You had 8 players that scored 5 or more points. You played 10, 9 of them scored. I mean, your depth was on full display last night.
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's not much drop-off, you know, and, you know, going back and looking at it. And there's a little bit of a learning curve here for us as far as rotation and what's working and how we can use guys in different spots right now, which is natural with any team in the beginning of the year. And that'll continue to be able to be fine-tuned over time. You know, going back, Broggy played really well. Could we have found him 4 or 5 more minutes? You know, where could we have used Taren for a couple minutes more? Just things like that. And the guys that went in there, you know, Omar contributed. You know, Tassos did a nice job in his time. You know, I got 2 or 3 more guys in, you know, in the till there that we can go to, too, that we just – it's hard to go to – it's hard to play a rotation of more than about what we did last night, you know, unless the foul trouble dictates it.
Yeah, and I thought on top of that, too, you know, defense was really, really good. Look, like all ACC teams, they have a couple of guys that are almost 7-footers. You guys did a really good job, both perimeter defense inside, and then when you were turning up the defensive pressure, I mean, you were turning over an ACC team when you put the full court and half court trap on.
Yeah, I thought the defensive pressure was very helpful. I think that's going to continue to be something that helps us, you know, not only stop teams but be able to get, you know, transition opportunities the other way. You know, the guys that helps to have a deep bench, to have a rotation that you can go to so that you can kind of, like, guys can empty their tank, the next guy can go in, and he can give you equal amount of energy and effort. You know, I do think that there were a couple times where, you know, there were certain guys on their team. We didn't have a whole lot on some of their guys, you know. Like, they didn't have – this was their first game. So, but there were a couple guys we thought we could kind of bother a little bit, you know, which that shouldn't really be able to be done in the ACC. Like their starting point guard, for example, I thought we could bother
absolutely.
Him, and we did. You know, and it just can be disruptive. And I think that's a huge weapon for us going forward. You know, we got to continue to lean into it and fine-tune it and find different wrinkles out of it. But I think the consistent on-ball pressure has a way of just keeping teams out of rhythm.
Yeah, because you have told me that because of the depth and, more importantly, because of the skill, this is a team that you can see putting full court pressure on, not just in situations maybe in the second half. And we've seen it. You really think this is something you could use for good parts of 40 minutes.
Oh, that's the plan.
Yep. Yeah. I won't tell you too much plan. We'll cut that out on the podcast for the next time.
They're all going to know. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so in the opener, you weren't playing an ACC team. It was a blowout win for your team at home. But I think I remember when I looked down, you played 13 guys in the first half, or by the early second half, you played 13 guys. And this was not when it was so far out you were emptying the bench. I mean, that is, as you say, it's a blessing and a curse. It's difficult to get all those guys minutes. But I have said this on paper when I saw you in practice, but in the game, I stick by it. This is your deepest and most consistently talented team. Like, usually when you go on any team in the country, 8, 9, 10, there's a drop-off. I don't think there's too much of a drop-off when you go 8, 9, 10, even 11 and 12.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think there's differences in their skill sets. There's strengths and weaknesses there. But as far as the ability to execute the plan, the ability to bring the defensive fervor and intensity to the situation. All right. And then, you know, like, maybe one guy is a little bit lesser of a shooter and more of a driver and stuff like that. And then you got to just play to your strengths. But as far as abilities to guys go in there and not have the drop off as far as establishing our identity defensively, you know, this plus, you know, the guys that played last night plus.
It's only been a week, but what are the high points that you have really taken away from, again, a big win and taking an ACC team down to the wire? What have you seen from your team, either that you knew was going to happen all the time or you've been pleasantly surprised with?
To be honest, I mean, I've been with them every day, so none of this is surprising me. I think the only thing that was the unknown was how we were going to respond last night. Were we going to be – like, we walked into that building, and the guys were confident that they were going to win a basketball game. There was no, oh, they're bigger, they're, you know, higher level, all that stuff. It was just, let's go. And, you know, that's what it takes. You know, that's what it takes to – you know, to accomplish that. We did not accomplish that last night. We'll get a couple cracks at it still. You know, and every game's important. So it's not like Sunday is not as important. They all are, but there's something about being in that environment, that atmosphere, and with the size and athleticism and the defensive prowess of that kind of a team that can make you play out of your character. I don't think we played even one bit out of character yesterday. I could count the shots that I'd like to have back on you know, one hand. Like, we were ready to – and that was the messaging, was kind of like, shot ready, you got to be – you know, like, the ones against a team like Virginia, the ones that you pass up, you may never get. Like, they're going to turn you over – not turn you over as far as a turnover. They're going to continue to make you run your offense to the point where you get a shot that's not nearly as good. And so you got to be shot ready, and you got to be confident to shoot it. And, you know, that led to, I think, a fair amount of makes. You know, obviously we would have liked one or two more.
Yeah, it was pretty fun, though, seeing 13,000 people really, really, really nervous for about 40 minutes there. It was certainly fun. We will talk more about this team, this unique roster that you've put together, and a little bit more about what is going to be a tough non-conference schedule. That is coming up after the break, back with head men's basketball coach Kevin McGee. And this is Camel Call Live from Napper Tandy's in Anger. Welcome back to Campbell Call Live with Campbell head men's basketball coach Kevin McGee. And hey, we want to talk to you about something really special that's happening in just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Tickets on sale now for the second annual Campbell Athletics Orange Tie Gala. It's going to be held on Friday, November 22nd. That's before Campbell's last home football game. It's at the Marriott City Center in downtown Raleigh, a beautiful venue that will feature music, dinner, drinks, and exclusive auction items as we gather the top supporters of Campbell Athletics along with administration and coaches. All of the information at GoCampbells.com. Tickets available at GoCampbells.com. Kevin McGee in here with me for the final segment. His team will play this Sunday at 2 o'clock versus St. Francis. That is also a Hoop Room game. If you weren't a part of the Hoop Room last year, it is a really, really cool event. An hour and a half before the game in McCall Gymnasium right there at Gore Arena in an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. Coach McGeehan comes in, has a little bit of a chalk talk with you. It's a really, really, really fun thing. We've lowered the price this year as well. So go to GoCamels.com for that. And your first opportunity will be before the game this Sunday. We love when Coach McGeehan stops by, but we're really thankful that he's here today because we talked a little bit about the crazy schedule. So last night, literally at this time, he was on the sidelines coaching his team in a battle with Virginia. He gets home at about, I think you guys pulled into Gore Arena, what, 2:30 in the a.m.? And I tell you what, traveling with Coach for 12 years, if it's the biggest win of the season, if it's an unbelievable win, if they roll in at 3 o'clock, he stands up, goes to the back of the bus, congratulates him, and says, but you got to go to class tomorrow. You guys know that, don't you? We'll be checking, and you got to go to class tomorrow no matter what it is. And it used to be okay when we got back into these old things, and I never fully appreciated Coach McGeehan seeing him at work the next day at 8 or 9 until I realized the fact that I have a couple little ones at home. He has had little ones that are now bigger ones, but someone asked me, well, you're going to sleep in tomorrow, right? Show up to work a little late. I said, my twins aren't going to sleep in. They're going to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. They certainly were, and you went through that. It's tough on coaches and staff, but, boy, those student-athletes and the travel, they go through it in football. But in basketball, they're traveling a lot of weekdays, and they're going to class the very next day. It's unique what the student-athletes do here at Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's part of it, but it's also it takes discipline. And, you know, we kind of have to make sure to remind them. You know, what I always try to remind them is, like, I know that you would be up at this hour anyway. So let's not fool each other. You stay up till 2 in the morning anyway. So it's just 2 in the morning, but you've been sleeping on a bus. And now you're going to get up, go back to bed, and get yourself up for class, because we're student athletes. We're not just athletes. And, you know. That's part of the deal, and I believe they do. It is important, and you know, I think also it sends a good message to the rest of the student body when those guys get there, and it's like, oh man, I just saw you on TV. You didn't get off the court until 10 or 9:30. You were in Virginia. Like,
yeah,
you're here today. Like that, I think that sends a good message too, that we're a part of it together.
Yeah, I also know as a dad of three that you haven't gotten a full night's sleep in about 12 years either, so even more amazing that you're able to go out there.
It's a lot easier now, but this morning we had a dentist appointment. Connor had a dentist appointment at 8, so it was like, you know, it was no, you know, just get up and get to be at the dentist. So
this time of year, work-life balance is certainly something. Let's talk about this roster, Coach. It is... It is amazing that you have put it together again. You're able to have talent that goes 13 deep. You have some key pieces coming back, but then you went into the transfer portal and you got guys that fit this system, guys that have power five stops to their resume. It's really unique, but you have put together really your most talented roster top to bottom that you've ever had here.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with how we're, you know, shaping up. I feel like we have guys at every position, multiple guys at every position, and so there's not really many holes, right? You know, there's like, it's kind of like a little bit I mentioned to you before, like it's a little Noah's Ark. We kind of got two of everything, and then we got a couple extras, and it helps. I mean, it helps. It's made practices super competitive, you know, and for the guys that are maybe playing a little less, that's what I've been, you know, preaching is like, you know, this time last year, Jason was coming off the bench, and by the end of the season, he was one of the best guards in the CAA.
Yep.
Tassos was starting. By the end of the year, he wasn't playing as much, but he's worked his tail off, and he's as much a part of what we're doing right now as anybody, you know, because he had the right mindset. And so just kind of sticking with it and continuing to compete, and that we're making each other better with every opportunity to be out there. It's a fun group, and talented, and they're bought in, and I love it.
Yeah, so many people with 13, we can't go through all of them. You and I had a great half-hour-long visit when we went and the Camel Call Live podcast. If you're listening to this to the podcast, go back a couple episodes. We had a great conversation. But Eric Van Heiden, what I really like about him is one thing. Look, he began at Ole Miss. He went to UNCW for 2 years. That's the kind of player he is. But he's a Raleigh guy from just up the road. You have a handful of Millbrook guys, of course, where Chris Clemens, the high school he came from, they're like a small college, what they do with their athletic department by there. You are getting guys to come back home to, again, play in front of their people, to be close to where they grow up. And there's so much talent that you've done a good job of mining just up the road.
Yeah, that helps a ton. I mean, getting Nolan and Eric here, and I got a tip on somebody else maybe soon for next year. But those guys, you know, I think it's like, you know, initially when you're in recruiting and you're a big-time player or whatever from this area, I think Campbell isn't the first place you think of because, you know, the recruiting train kind of drives you to, like, it's more special to be elsewhere because then everybody talks about, oh, he's at so-and-so. But I think once you experience it, sometimes you realize, man, this is actually a really good fit, a good place. There's tremendous people. You know, you feel cared for at Campbell. coaching staff, but, you know, administration and faculty, everybody's, it's kind of like a family. And I think that as you get older, even though they're still on the younger side, but older in your college career, you start to value that a little bit
yep.
more. Opportunity. And then, man, at this point, I just want to make the most of what I can. And if these people care and they got a good thing going and there's support, and why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there is an attraction to us as a what they would call a rebound spot for local kids because, you know, playing in the CAA, obviously Gore Arena is beautiful, and, you know, a chance to, you know, maybe be a bigger part of making an impact in their basketball careers at the end.
Yeah, and you have continued to – you recruited him when he was at Penn State, but you continue to have an international flavor to this team, something that you have done through the entire time that you've been here. You got a guy named Bragi from Iceland, and he really, really is an energetic player.
Yeah, he plays so hard. I mean, he's really a delight to be around. He's so coachable and mature. You know, like my birthday was like a week ago or whatever. And, of course, the assistant coach has got it out there. When you get to 51, you don't really care if anybody knows it's your birthday. But, of course, they did that. And then, you know, a bunch of guys texted me. But, like, Bragi, like, came in to my office and, like, sat down and had, like, a 15-minute conversation. And I was just like, wow, that was really, like, just like, and it was more like, oh, I know it's your birthday, so I'm just going to stop
yeah.
by and spend some time with you. Just really mature kid and really likable, but he plays with great energy. And I think the ceiling for him is like a ways away. I think he's got a lot of room to get
yep.
better. Like, I think he's really good now, and I think his growth potential, he could be one of the best players in the CAA before his career is over.
Yeah, and the great thing is a bunch of these players that you brought in, they have multiple years left as well, which I know is important for you to get them going. All right, let's talk about this schedule. This is the toughest non-conference schedule that you have ever put together. And, Coach, that's on purpose. As you know, that's what has to happen to get these guys ready for CAA play.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. But I do think that we've put ourselves in a position where we're thinking about things in a different way, and
yep.
it's just all about getting better and competing and getting ready for conference play. For example, Navy is very, very physical and tough team. You know, like, that is what CAA basketball is. Longwood is incredibly physical and tough defensive team. That's what CAA basketball is. You know, obviously the Virginias and Ohio States of the world are going to be like that. Evansville, Green Bay, these teams are all really, really good, physical, and tough. And I think we just want to kind of sharpen ourselves and test ourselves again and again and again so that we're ready, so that we're the team that's imposing that on someone else when we need it the most.
Absolutely, and going toe-to-toe with UVA, your guys aren't going to be intimidated. You talked about it at Ohio State. You're going to be on the road for a while, so I'm telling everybody, if you haven't been out to see this exciting, exciting team, all these athletes so deep, you got to come out in the next week or it's going to be a little while. St. Francis, 2 o'clock on Sunday. Next Wednesday, Campbell plays at 7 o'clock. And then they go on the road for six of their next seven games. And, Coach, as you know, it's so tough to schedule and everything, and you're kind of at the mercy at some different things, especially when you're going and playing these Power Fives. But what do you think the positive will be for that basically month where you're on the road, and not constantly, you're coming back in that, but you go away from home a lot?
You know, I think you come together as a group when you're traveling, you know, a lot more, you know, you got bus rides and you got team meals and you're just around each other a lot more than you are like in the normal sort of separated model, which is like watching film with one coach and then, you know, lifting with Tony and, you know, practice with all of us and then, you know, maybe a meeting here and there, but we're not together as much when we're home as we are when we're on the road. So I think it has a way of bringing you together, you know, and it's hard to win basketball games on the
yep.
road. So you know, it really tests you. You know, some of these are going to be not friendly travels, and you know, as far as how easy it is to get in and out of some of these places and whatnot. And so, you know, there's all kinds of things that come with that. And really, it's just about us being tough. And so our toughness is going to come in the form of having to handle some adversity probably yep. through all that as well. And, you know, that's part of it. We've consistently been framing what we're trying to do. You know, our kind of our motto of prove it together is just that. You know, it's an individual basis. Each of these guys who maybe have something to prove because of where they've been in the past or where they're coming from or what they're trying to show everybody to, you know, us collectively and what we're trying to do, you know, being picked low and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like none of that stuff really matters, but it should be motivation for us to work really hard and to be our best when we can.
Prove it together indeed. When they are home, folks, it's some really, really good games. He's put together a great home schedule as well. We talk about St. Francis on Sunday, Newberry on Wednesday, and then one of the few times you can see them after next week, the next month, December 4th. It's a Wednesday night. Coastal Carolina comes into town. Longwood, old Big South rival, December 18th. And then Campbell plays at North Carolina for the first time in men's basketball program history, December 29th at 8 p.m. Coach, thank you so much for taking time. Get some sleep. I will too, and
watch
we will
some film.
and we will see you on Sunday. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you.
That's Campbell head coach Kevin McGee and his basketball team back at it this Sunday at 2 p.m. against St. Francis, Wednesday, November 13th at Newberry, and then they won't be back in town until December 4th against Coastal. Tickets, season tickets, still available as well. Many plans at GoCamels.com. That'll do it for Camel Call Live for Braxton Harris and Kevin McGee, and I'm Chris Amyer saying so long. We'll have some information about some shows coming up in the winter and spring in a bit. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for coming out all fall. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you back in Bowie's Creek.